This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. CBS News and Dan Rather have backed down from a story they've been insisting was true for more than a week. This involves the memos shown on the CBS program 60 Minutes 2. The memos questioned whether President Bush fulfilled his duties in the Texas Air National Guard during the Vietnam era. Last night, CBS aired an interview with the man who provided those memos to the network, and the network said it can no longer say that they are authentic. NPR's Netta Olaby reports.
During his interview with Bill Burkett last night, Dan Rather made it clear that the network was bamboozled. He got Burkett to admit on camera that he lied about who gave him the documents.
You did mislead us. You used the word lie.
Yes, I did.
You lied to us. Why would I or anyone believe that you wouldn't mislead us about something else?
I could understand that question. I can. That's going to have to be your judgment and anybody else's.
Dan Rather went on to apologize for using documents he acknowledged the network should not have used. He announced that CBS News President Andrew Hayward had ordered an independent investigation. That's an important step, says Thomas Rosenstiel. He's a former media critic and director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism. But he also says this story is not that important.
These memos don't tell us anything that fundamentally changes what we know about George Bush and his military experience.
So why did this CBS incident blow up in such a dramatic fashion?
You got me stumped on that one.
Lee Wilkins teaches at the School of Journalism at the University of Missouri. Her specialty is media ethics.
The amount of airtime and money and newsprint that this has consumed that has not allowed us to discuss stories that I think are more important to the average American, that I don't understand why the news organizations have gone so berserk over this.
It's sort of a whodunit, and the press loves a whodunit.
Eric Bollard is a senior writer at Salon.com. He says the press also loves talking about itself.
And you put those two together and you put it in a campaign season, it sort of became this nirvana for the press corps to cover it.
That same press corps is not exactly innocent, says University of Missouri professor Lee Wilkins. She says just as it appears that CBS got in trouble for not knowing who the original source of the documents was, too many news organizations rely on anonymous sources. She says those who've compared this media blunder to those of Jason Blair or USA Today's Jack Kelly are missing the point. She doesn't have the sense that anyone at CBS fabricated anything.
They perhaps believed someone they should not have believed. They certainly failed to check out someone they absolutely should have checked out. But this is not the same thing as a news organization making up information and then giving it to the public.
But Thomas Rosenstiel of the Project for Excellence in Journalism says that news organizations must take responsibility for creating a culture in which the anchor is more important than the story.
Television news has done that more in recent years than they used to. They pay their anchors more, and they've been cutting the salaries of their reporting staff, and they've been cutting the size of their reporting staff. And, you know, there are risks to that.
Rosenstiel says that for some people, it may not matter what CBS's investigation yields. They've already made up their minds about the network and Dan Rather. He says that's too bad, pointing out that in an already polarized society, the press should give us a common language to understand things. If we lose that, he says, we've lost something important. Netta Ulaby, NPR News, Washington.